A Radiance in the Gulag by Niola Sadulnate. Part 3. After her release from the Gulag. Chapter 13. Under God's Protection. As I mentioned, in the forenoon of November 23, 1982, I visited my brother, Jonas Sadulnas, who was confined in the psychiatric hospital of Nalju Vilna for observation by the KGB. The KGB was tormenting my brother just because they had failed to enslave him morally and because of their desire to detect and destroy the editorship of the Chronicle of the Catholic Church in Lithuania. Back in 1974, the KGB investigators who had arrested me boasted that in a month or two there would be no more Chronicle of the Catholic Church in Lithuania because all had been discovered. 12 years have passed, and the Chronicle, with the help of God, still survives. For that, praise and thank the Almighty. In any case, the medical chief of the psychiatric examination section, KGB agent Reisnuske, ordered me out and with a Czechist who came to her assistance fabricated a trumped-up charge against me for allegedly insulting her. Expelled by Dr. Reisnuske, I left immediately. I quickly crossed the broad hospital courtyard. Approaching the side gate, I saw pass by several militia cars, one of which stopped not far from the gate, behind the bushes, as though to be concealed. Standing right by the gate was a taxi, with its door open. I was very fortunate, since taxis never stopped there. Apparently, it had been brought someone else and had not had time to drive away. The driver agreed to take me to Vilnius, and at my request, he let me off at the gates of dawn. The solemnities of the Mother of Mercy had just ended. I wanted to thank the Blessed Mother for her protection and to commend my brother's needs to her. After thanking the Mother of Mercy of the Gates of Dawn, I spoke by phone with my brother's wife, Marthia. Describing briefly the events at the hospital, I told her I would not be home, and asked her to take the men could find with my brother some bread, which they lacked. I then went to the home of an acquaintance and drafted protests to the Minister of the Department of Health and the Attorney General of the Lithuanian Soviet Socialist Republic. I immediately mailed the protest, and the texts appeared in the Chronicle of the Catholic Church in Lithuania. Late that night, I went home to prepare for a raid. I learned that Dr. Reisnuske had that very day informed my brother that a criminal case had been brought against me, and she regretted that I managed to get away. Right after I had left, the militia and the KGB agent arrived. My brother immediately drafted a protest letter describing the fabrication. That day, many militiamen waited in the hospital courtyard for me to visit my brother again, but they were disappointed. Early on the morning of November 24th, the anniversary of the murder of Father Brolnius Laurinavičius, I left home disguised as an elderly lady, just in case some KGB agent was waiting in the yard. On the sidewalk in front of our door, a man was pacing back and forth, obviously waiting for someone. Bent under the burden of age, and limping somewhat, I immediately turned to the other houses on the left instead of the street to the right, which was the usual route downtown. Lazdany is a new suburb of Vilnius. I went unhurriedly. Behind some bushes, I noticed that a man, actually stooping, was following me with his gaze. He must not have recognized me, because he remained at his post. Leaving the courtyard a few houses behind me, I stepped up my pace, and not meeting anyone, I crossed Lazdany. I took the trolley bus downtown and stopped into the Church of the Holy Spirit, formerly the Dominican Church, to pray. During the holy sacrifice of the Mass, I resigned myself completely to the will of God, repeating the words of the little Saint Teresa of Lisieux. I desire nothing but what you, O God, wish, and as you wish it. Lead me where you will, the way you know, for you are truly love. My heart was at peace. After praying, I went to the home of my best friend, Bronik Bethke, whom I often visited, and the keys to whose apartment I had. The KGB knew this, and when they summoned me to warn me, they used to mail the summons to both addresses, mine and Bronis. My friend had already gone out. Unlocking the door, I entered that apartment and soon lay down to rest. The night before, I had almost no sleep, preparing for the raid. I immediately fell fast asleep and slept for several hours. Suddenly, in a dream, I saw two militiamen in uniform and understood that they were looking for me. Immediately, I heard the doorbell, a long, insistent ring. If it had not been for that dream, I would have opened the door. Now, however, I crept to the door and, climbing up on something, looked very carefully through the transom. Outside the door, I saw the caps of two militiamen. Quietly, I climbed down and went back into the room, determined not to open the door. Through a back window overlooking the yard, the apartment was on the second floor, I saw a white Nova military car parked at the entrance to the building, with a uniformed militiaman seated at the wheel. the KGB had decided to take care of me through the hands of the militia. Well, I thought, let's see what happens. My heart was beating wildly, and the doorbell kept ringing insistently. Finally, it stopped. Soon I saw the two militiamen come down the stairs into the yard. One of them carried under his arm a brown folder, which was most likely the order for my arrest. After a brief conversation with the driver, they all drove away. I immediately left Ronald's apartment. And so, thank God, this is the fifth year that the entire force of the KGB, with all their agents and assistants of the militia, has been looking for me in vain, pursuing me fruitlessly. How real the words of Psalm 117 and 118 have become for me. With Yahweh on my side, I fear nothing. What can man do to me? Some say that I am very shrewd. This is not so. To attain his ends, God often chooses the most unlikely people, and that is what I am. What appears to the world to be weak, God has chosen in order to confound those who are strong, writes St. Paul. One thing I know, that those who trust in the Lord will never be disappointed, and every day after Holy Communion I speak to Jesus, paraphrasing St. Paul, who shall separate me from your love? No, Lord, even the fear of death shall not separate me from you, for you are my life. Neither the love of this life, for I am prepared to sacrifice it for you, nor the powers of heaven, for you are more powerful than they, nor the things of the present, for they pass, nor those of the future, for I love none of them more than you, nor suffering, for you comfort me, nor oppression, for you fortify my heart, nor hunger, for you satisfy me, nor poverty, for you enrich me, nor danger, for you comfort me, nor persecution, for you defend me, nor the sword, nor suffering, for they would be sweet to me for love of you, nor slavery, for in you I would find freedom, nor finally freedom itself, for I wish to be the slave of your love, nor the creatures of this world, for they are nothing compared to you, nor the transience of the world, nor the wiles of my foes, nor my own weakness, for you will turn all those misfortunes into good for me. Nothing shall separate me from the love of Jesus Christ. And I ask the Blessed Mother to allow me to love the good Lord in her immaculate heart. This is the extent of my shrewdness. After November 23, 1982, I would visit my apartment in Lednje and Brona only stealthily, and the good Lord protected me from the eyes of the people of ill will.